shouts of Spain.
Welcome to the 2-4, post-first-round edition, and we've brought him back now that the ban on speaking to people in Ottawa is over. Sean O'Neill, returning to the 2-4 after a one-cast absence. How are you, bud?
I'm well, thanks for holding down the fort while I was backpacking in Peru.
There you go. Hey, the Habs just eliminated the Ottawa Senators. How about that?
Yeah, they didn't make it easy on themselves, but they did finally get the job done. And to be honest, I was starting to get worried there.
You were, sir. I was. Weren't we all? I think we were all starting to get a little bit worried
there. Well, just the way Ottawa had climbed back into the playoffs, it really looked like, you know, they were going to do two incredible sort of comeback, historic comebacks within the span of a month. It really did look that way for a
stretch. I mean, there was no. I mean, they were in deep. It was going to be a long hill to climb for them to come back, but as you say, everything they did through the regular season with their backs up against the wall. I mean, they'd been running a miracle for a long time. There was, it seemed easy to talk yourself into believing they might be, have two more games in them, enough to eliminate the Habs. But when all said and done, six-game series, Carey Price stood tall in the final game. Huge, huge win. He was magnificent in that one, if not a little bit below but what we'd come to see from Carey through the rest of the season through the series, I think. But huge, huge game on Sunday night. Obviously getting the shutout. The only time the Senators were shut out all season, and it was in the game of their demise. So the big man came up big when he needed to, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what they needed out of him. Because, I mean, look, listen, they only scored one goal, you know, for all intents and purposes. Yeah. So, you know, had Carey had even a B-minus night, we'd probably be going to a game seven, but they needed him to steal a game, and he did. And I don't want to say finally, because that's unfair. He hadn't really played poor throughout the series, but the team isn't scoring, and they've fallen back into some bad habits, and they needed him to steal a game. And, well, guess what? He's the best goalie in the world, so he obliged. But I'm still not sure it's a recipe for long-term success.
No, the series certainly didn't do anything to bolster confidence heading into the second round, be it against Detroit or be it against Tampa Bay. All right, so let's get into it. Let's open up the 12-pack on this post-round one. Montreal, as we say, defeats Ottawa. Question one, was the Habs scare against Ottawa a character builder or a bad omen?
I mean, people always talk about the, you know, the commemorative DVD that comes out after the playoffs, right?
Yes.
And, you know, if Montreal does win the Stanley Cup, then this is an intriguing first chapter where they get that scare and their backs up against the wall, but they get the job done and they go on a run. That's one way to look at it. I think the more accurate way to look at it is as a bad omen. I don't think the team, you know, even when they were up 3-0, the team wasn't playing particularly well.
No.
And just looking at the way the team is playing, I still have a very hard time seeing them getting the job done against Tampa Bay, let alone, you know, New York or Washington or the Islanders, whoever they would have to play in the Eastern Conference final.
I mean, the fact that, yeah, you wanted to see tonight Carey Price step up and be the big man and essentially steal the game for Montreal, which he did. The rest of the team, the rest of the so-called bigwigs on this team had one good game, and that was Game 2. Outside of that, what did we really see in this series from Max Pacioretty? What did we really see in this series from even PK Subban? Thomas Plekanec, Alex Galchenyuk, Brendan Gallagher finally getting a goal tonight. A huge one. all the same, one goal in the entire series. Of the top two lines, we just saw so little from those guys. I mean, the heroes, when all said and done, of the first round, outside of Carey stealing Game 6, were the real grinders. Mitchell, Flynn, Weiss, all leading the series in points when all said and done. It was good enough to get you by Ottawa in the first round. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be enough to get you by whoever it is you meet in the next round, be it Tampa Bay or Detroit. And then, you know, with the hopes of somehow seeing this team go a little bit further this year, even than the Eastern Conference Final, you're going to have to see a lot more from the players who are supposed to be the contributors. We saw that in Game 2, but the rest of the series, pretty much a no-show for all of them. I don't know that they played particularly poorly, but they never contributed in any big way. The one player that obviously I'm very concerned about is Andre Markov, because he's one of the big guns who didn't register in the way Pacioretty, Subban, etc. He was just bad. Markov was downright bad, and hopefully a rest going into the next round will help him on that front. But I'm very concerned about him right now.
Yeah, he looked horrible, and we'll get to that maybe a little bit later on as well. But
yeah,
I mean, who'd you give an A to?
Nobody.
You're
really
getting up with series grades.
Dale Weiss.
Yeah.
Lars Eller had a good series, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
Those might be the two guys, and you know, I'm even including Carey Price there. Carey had an amazing Game 6, but the rest, he was average by his own standards, I would say. Weiss and Eller, I think, are the only guys who maybe stood out to me in that series.
Yeah, and you know, that's not going to be enough.
Certainly not. Definitely not. Question 2, who is Montreal's MVP versus Ottawa? I guess maybe one of those guys we just mentioned, or?
I mean, I guess it's still Carey.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess, even though he was a B-minus series by his standards.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't steal the series. He stole games, stole Game 6. Was pretty decent the first three games. Really weak in Game 5. I'd say he's probably the MVP, but he was probably below his own sort of high standards, which tells you a lot about this team.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew Hammond, Habs MVP?
Yeah, might be.
I mean, if he doesn't start Game 1 and 2, I don't think there's this at least goes to 7, and it wouldn't shock me if Ottawa wins this series if it's Anderson the whole way. And obviously they had to go with Hammond in the series, but when all is said and done, Hammond let in some weak goals in those first three games, and they turned out to be what, for my money, was the big difference in the series. I mean, those were Montreal's three key wins. Tonight it was all Carey Price on Sunday night, but the first three was, those were tight games. Montreal only won them by one. Yeah, and in the first two games, I mean, you could definitely hang them on Hammond.
Yeah, it was a little reminiscent, actually, of each of the Habs' last two first-round series. The series they lost to Ottawa 2 years ago where, they lost in five, but it was all kind of one-goal games, and they could have gone either way. And then, last year against Tampa, where they swept Tampa, but those are, about as close as a sweep could possibly be. And the first three games were a little similar, where, Montreal is up 3-0, but they could have pretty easily been down 3-0 in that series as well, which was another reason that we're all a little bit nervous about the comeback.
I think that was a big part of it, wasn't it? I mean, the fact that we could see how this could play out terribly. And, I mean, one more bounce tonight, the whistle not going too quick on the Pageau goal, and it's a whole different story.
Yeah. It was a very close series. And, those first three games were as close as you could possibly get. And you raise a good point. I think if Anderson had been the starters in this game, and like you said, they had no choice. It had to be
obviously,
Hammond.
Yeah.
But the way Anderson was playing, the way Anderson's historically played against the Habs, they might have won that series if he was starting from game one.
I think they might have. But they didn't. The Habs have moved on. We seem a little shell-shocked. We should be more celebratory. They just won a series.
People should see, we've done this once before maybe, but people should see the questions we had lined up the other night. We were going to broadcast after game 5.
Yeah.
It was not cheery.
Not cheery at all. We waited. And now it's only mildly cheery. Let's get into a depressing question.
It's only mildly cheery. It doesn't feel like,
Nope. It doesn't feel like we just...
cause for celebration, really.
Not at all. So in the negative category, who is Montreal's least valuable player versus Ottawa? I mean, I'll go ahead and answer this right now, just because I already said it. I thought Andrei Markov was abysmal in that series. It was some of the worst, maybe the worst six games I've seen him play in the last two seasons, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, he really wasn't good. Like you said, there were other players who were sort of no-shows. Petrie really didn't do anything. A few others who really didn't do anything, but they weren't, you know, detriments to the team. They weren't negatives. Markov was a negative. Markov was bad.
He looked completely lost. I can't even begin to understand what the hell's wrong with him. And it's not as though it's injury, I don't think. It doesn't look like that anyway. But at the same time, I think where a lot of you're going to hear coming out next week is obviously Markov's going to be a discussion point this week. People will wonder if he's tired, but does fatigue kick in that drastically, that quickly, where in game 82 you're in fine form and in game one of the playoffs you're a mess and can't regain? I'm hard-pressed to believe it's purely fatigue, but it also doesn't seem like an injury. But he's also too smart and too wise of a player to be, you know, suddenly terrible with the pressure on. I'm perplexed by what's going on with him.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if he, you know, to my memory, he wasn't fantastic in the last couple playoff games last year either.
I don't think so. I think you're right about that.
So, you know, maybe it is a bit of a fatigue thing. Like you said, he was fine all season. He was kind of the same old Markov, to the point where, you know, some people were mentioning him as a sort of honorable mention Norris candidate. You know, he had a very good regular season. And like you said, I don't know how he would go from that to being just abysmal come game 83. Like you said, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
No, and even by his own I mean, the mistakes he made, especially tonight in game six, a couple just, they seem like lazy plays. They seem like plays that his head's just not in the game. And from a player like Markov, it's absolutely shocking to see that happening. But I can't put my finger on what the hell the problem would be. But he was downright Montreal's worst player in that series. I mean, that should never be the case. And they're not going to survive long if Markov is their worst player in a series, I don't think. They need him.
Yep. No, that's true. So, yeah, you know, I'm hopefully willing to chalk it off as just a really bad six-game stretch. But like you said, that might be the worst six-game stretch of his career. And something looks off. And maybe he's hurt. Maybe there's off-ice stuff. Maybe it's just a weird little glitch thing. But like, they need him back on round two. At least back to being a non-factor.
Yeah, non-factor at the very least. I mean, you'd like Markov to step up. And if you have any plans on getting, you know, outside of the East and even Stanley Cup final, or hell, even out of the second round at this point, Markov's going to need to be one of your better players. He needs to contribute. I mean, he's so crucial to what this team does, and he can't just be not bad. I think he needs to play well, and right now there's no indication that he's going to. Question number four, who would you rather play, Tampa or Detroit in round two? We can look ahead at this point, finally.
I mean, I think that's pretty easy, right?
I look at the regular season, and it should feel easy to answer that question.
I mean, Tampa is a better team overall.
Yes.
And, you know, if you want the easier matchup, you would go with Detroit. But especially given the way the Lightning have manhandled Montreal all season long, it's really no contest. I think they, you know, again, I'm not super confident after this Ottawa series, but I do think they would beat Detroit in a seven-game series. I'm really hard-pressed to see how they would get by Tampa Bay. Unless Carey really goes back to regular season Carey and steals four games, that's a really good team.
It is a good team.
That seems to have Montreal's number. The one sort of one little good thing that you can take away is that Bishop hasn't looked great.
At all.
And, you know, these are the first, you know, he's an inexperienced goalie who has not looked great in the playoffs, so maybe there's a glimmer of hope there, but otherwise, man, that is not a great matchup for Montreal.
I mean, Montreal sweeps Detroit in the regular season. Tampa Bay sweeps Montreal in the regular season. I think it lines up. Yeah. Obviously, your preference is going to be the team that you swept over the team that swept you. And, it, you know, so much of it is matchups. I don't know that Ottawa gives a lot of team fits the way they came into this series. But they gave Montreal fits because Ottawa is not a good matchup for the Canadiens in general. And I think it's the same for the next round. I mean, Detroit might be able to beat Tampa Bay, but when it comes to facing the Canadiens, completely different beast, I think the Habs have a much better chance against against the Red Wings than they do against the Lightning right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's much debate there, which brings us to our next question that I'm trying to pull up here. Number five, does Carey need to be better?
Well, not better than he was in Game 6. That was a pretty fantastic performance. And kind of what we'd become used to all season long. We didn't see that, though, in the first five games of the series. Carey was good. He had some huge saves. But he wasn't... I don't even think he was among the best goalies in the first round when all said and done. Mm-hmm. So, if the question is, does Carey need to be better if the Habs want to get out of the next round? Yes, he does. I think he needs to be a little bit more... Well, what we saw in Game 6, I mean, this team has been his team all season long. There's no doubt about that. And at this point, I think, yeah, if they want to get past the second round, Carey's got to be better than just pretty good.
Yep, and in a sense, you could say that's unfair.
Yeah, it is unfair.
He certainly wasn't bad, but listen, this is the way the team is. This is the way that Michelle Therrien has chosen to coach the team. To a certain extent, it's the way Michelle Bergeron has chosen to construct the team. They need Carey Price to be the best goalie in the world. And when he is, they have a chance at winning the Stanley Cup. When he's only the 7th or 8th or 10th best goalie in the world, this is a mediocre 8th seed type team.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the difference on Sunday night. When Carey was at his absolute best, then it doesn't matter what the Habs do in front of him. He's going to win the game. And you kind of you hoped this was coming after he gave up 5 goals in Game 5. Part of me was very, very glad that if the Canadians were going to lose that game, they were going to lose it in a convincing fashion. Had they lost Game 5 2-1, who knows? But you embarrass Carey, and I hate to agree with Glenn Healy ever, and it might have been the only thing that he said that even made marginal sense on Sunday night, but he said, you know what? You beat Carey 5 times, and it actually sort of pisses him off. And there was a reason to expect a huge bounce back, and that's what we wound up getting, was a huge bounce back from Carey. I'm glad, I think, when all said and done, that Ottawa won that game, Game 5, convincingly. Because if they just edged it out, then you're left with Michel Therrien saying possibly the same thing he said after Game 4, which is, well, we were one period away from winning the series. We're not going to change anything. Well, things needed to change. And Carey obviously was the biggest difference, completely shutting the door on Ottawa time and time and time again. But at the same time, the rest of the Habs had to switch things up. They couldn't convince themselves that all they needed was a decent bounce going their way to win it. They had to change up. And when all said and done, it was far from a perfect game, Game 6. Far from a perfect game. But they wound up getting the win. And I think the lopsided loss in Game 5 had a little bit to do with that. Question 6. Is Mark Stone the bravest soul of all time?
I'm going to try and get through this answer without getting too choked up. But
yeah, no, don't get too emotional here.
When I think of everything that he went through to come back from a non-existent injury.
Oh my God.
To rewrite medical history by coming back from a micro fracture.
Micro.
It gives me chills. I mean, we're talking Kurt Gibson in the World Series here.
Oh, it's just, it was uplifting in so many ways. Excuse me.
Bless you.
This is what happens when you podcast from your basement. You start to get the allergies midway through. I've moved down to the basement for the podcast tonight because my normal podcasting spot has been taken over by people watching Game of Thrones and Mad Men on Sunday night. So this is really why I wanted the Habs to end this thing before Sunday. I wanted to take part in the series watching, but hockey calls, you know what I mean?
I know what's going on.
I'm glad you hear that. Oh, Mark Stone. It turned out to be one of the biggest stories of the round, and when all's said and done, I think we're going to have more fun with it than them, discussing a microfracture and all the, just the micro-mocking that we're going to get to draw from it. We'll probably name this podcast Micro Something or Other.
Probably. It has entered the sort of hockey lexicon, which is super fun.
Yeah. And I mean, it's probably a real thing, I guess, but It's also been fun to completely mock as not anything at all. And I mean, even did you see Brendan Gallagher tonight?
That was great.
Stone calls Brendan Gallagher a pussy, and Brendan Gallagher's like, me the pussy? And just shakes his wrist at him. Like, it's just good stuff.
Do you like the playoffs so far?
Yeah, I love these playoffs, actually. Very unpredictable. But they've been a good time. I've watched a lot. I don't think I've watched at its first round. I always watch a ton of first round, but I don't feel like I've watched quite as much of the first round ever in at least a long, long time. It's, all the series have been fairly intriguing to me. Even the one that was a sweep because Winnipeg was involved, I was a pretty big fan of it. I've enjoyed the Chicago series. That was a lot of fun to watch. The St. Louis-Minnesota series, it's been a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of the Tampa Bay-Detroit series, mostly for scouting purposes. The one that I didn't see more than a minute or two of, actually I saw probably the first period of Game 6, was Calgary and Vancouver. And that being said, it seems like it's been a really fun series. It just,
that was a fun series, too. Yeah,
it's a little bit late.
I've
missed a lot of that one, but it felt a little bit like Ottawa-Montreal West Coast version.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, we knew going into this playoffs that this was the year without a real clear-cut favorite. You know, which made things interesting. It's kind of lived up to that. Calgary-Anaheim, one of those two teams is going to the Western Conference Final. And I know Anaheim had a great regular season record, but I don't think anyone sees them as, you know, this great juggernaut of a team.
That's going to be a tough task for Calgary. I mean, they haven't won apparently in Anaheim since like 2004 or something stupid.
Yeah.
But Calgary, much like Ottawa, never count them out this year. I mean, eventually, you know, clock struck midnight on Cinderella Sens, and thankfully for us. But I counted Ottawa out a lot this season before they finally died, which is why I was comfortable after Game 3, but perhaps not completely sold on it being the end. Ottawa pushed back. Thankfully, Montreal managed to eliminate them, but I'm not willing to count out this Flames team until it's all said and done on them. They got a lot of fight in them. They're actually kind of fun to watch.
They are, and like, listen, I like fantasy stats. I like the analytics, but it's also fun when a team just
defies it. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I don't. You know, I know that there's a lot of people out there in the fantasy stats community that are just waiting for the Flames to fall back to earth so that they can be validated, and I think eventually they will. History and the numbers, you know, seem to indicate that eventually they'll fall back to earth. But until that happens, like, I don't want them to. This is fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, outside of my lack of love for the Calgary Flames, it's an enjoyable story. I mean, I think the Ottawa Senators were probably everybody's sweetheart team, besides Montreal fans, and they've now been eliminated. And Calgary, I think, will now take on the team that people want to see succeed. Kind of that status in these playoffs.
Yeah,
they're the underdogs at this point, and the little engines that can. So we'll see. I'm not convinced they can't beat Anaheim.
No, neither am I. Not at all.
Speaking of, as you're saying, they're hard to say who's going to win the cup this year. Hard to pick a favorite. We've already seen one of the favorites fall in St. Louis. But through round one, which team's impressed you the most thus far? That's question 7.
Impressed me the most would probably be Chicago. My cup pick before the playoffs started was New York, and I'm going to stick by that because there's no real reason not to. But Chicago, you know, tough opponent in Nashville. That was a weird series, but a really fun series. And, you know, you do get the sense to a certain extent that the Blackhawks are playing possible a little bit. They maybe did a little bit of the Kings thing where now that it's playoff time, they can turn it around because, man, is that a deep and talented team.
They're not perfect, though. They feel less perfect than they have been in previous seasons.
Might have an easier cup to the path to the cup, though.
They might have an easier path to the cup. I think they've looked like the best team. Though the team that's impressed me the most, I've got to say, is Detroit. I thought that would be a bit of a cakewalk for Tampa Bay, who I had as the Stanley Cup favorite before the thing started. And I still think, you know, let's not count Tampa Bay out. They're down 3-2 in that series as we record this thing. But I didn't think Detroit would have much to them. They looked weak as the regular season came to an end. They're old on the one half, or inexperienced on the other half, but they're well coached. They've got a goalie that no one had really heard of. Yeah, until the end of the season, they're well coached. And they've looked really good against Tampa. And I kind of thought, okay, we saw the best of what the Red Wings have when they had that 2-0 lead and wound up losing that game to Tampa Bay. But no, instead, in Tampa Bay, they bounce back and go out and get the win on Sunday. I've been very impressed by Detroit. Do I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup? No, of course not. But at the same time, for all the teams that I would have counted out, they've been the biggest surprise. And I won't be shocked if they actually manage to off the Lightning before all is said and done. And I won't be completely confident with Montreal playing them in the second round.
No, that's fair. That brings us to number 8. Who is your way too early Conn Smythe frontrunner?
That's a tough one.
It is. I mean, I think Tarasenko is probably the player in round one, right?
Yeah, I would say so, and he's out.
Something tells me he's not going to Conn Smythe.
Nope. I mean, I haven't seen anyone in particular from Detroit or Tampa Bay in that series. You got the New York Rangers, who I think are still one of the favorites for the Cup, but did anyone stand out in that series to you against Pittsburgh?
No, not really.
Montreal-Ottawa, I mean, we just talked about how really there's been nobody there as of yet. Anaheim-Winnipeg, I don't think anyone really stood out as the individual. Calgary, once again, a team effort in getting past Vancouver. You'd want to think it's one of the Hawks, but I don't even know who I'd pick on that team.
I mean, Taves does have 8 points.
Does he really have 8 points? I guess that, I guess he's your front runner at this point. Holy shit. Yeah, I did not realize that.
You know, Keith had a good series too, but the first name that came to mind for me was actually, and I hate to say this, but Corey Perry was really good in that Winnipeg series.
I believe you mean Katy Perry. let's get in all that trouble for.
We'll save that culture war for later.
Yes, please. Yeah, he was good. You're right. He was good against Winnipeg.
But yeah, I mean, it's not even round one's not even in the books yet. So
not just
insane question, but.
But you're right. Tarasenko's the one guy who kind of leapt off the page in the first round so far.
Yeah.
And he's been eliminated. What do they need to do in St. Louis? Well, I guess that's a question coming up. I should read ahead. First off, number 9, what's next in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think Rutherford's one and done, and I think Mike Johnson's one and done.
Probably going to trade Sidney Crosby to the Habs.
I think the GM and coach are both gone, and I think deservedly so. And I know they were hit hard by injuries, but still, that team to turn into what it's turned into is unbelievable.
That's unacceptable.
We all thought they'd have, 3 cups by now? 2 at the very, very least?
And even if not that, if they were just competing. But they haven't really got out of the second round, have they, in some time?
They got to the final that one year against Boston. And I think
that's right. And then they got swept there.
They got swept. I mean, not even a competitor. No. You know, lost every game by 4 goals. It's been embarrassing. You know, a lot of embarrassing bailouts. And in some of those years, you know, Sid wasn't healthy and they had injury excuses. But they don't have that anymore. I know there are injuries on the back end, but still, they've got 2 of the top 5 or 10 players on the planet.
I'd say 5.
Yeah, 2 of the top 5 players on the planet, and they've surrounded them with nothing.
Well, can you imagine, I think we've probably talked about this, but can you imagine Sidney Crosby giving the support staff that Jonathan Toews has?
Yeah, and you've heard a lot of things coming out lately saying that, you know, Sid's finally reached the point where he's starting to get pissed off.
Well, who the hell were his wingers in this series?
Hornquist and Kunitz.
Who the hell are they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're fine players on a second or third line on some teams, but you do not have them playing with Sidney Crosby. You've got to get him something better. Maybe it'll be Phil Kessel.
Yeah, he might be.
He can be had, and that would be interesting.
Is there any chance that Gino's gone?
I think there is a chance. I don't think it's a huge... I'll put it below 50-50, but I think there's a chance they move him, which is a stupid thing to do.
Probably, but if you don't trade one of those two guys, aren't you just kind of tinkering at the margins? There's no free agents out there.
That's true. Yeah, without being really smart about other trades, it's going to be hard. And you got to do something. You can't waste Sidney Crosby's prime.
And who, what else do they have in terms of trade pieces? Like, Fleury, maybe.
Trade Fleury to St. Louis.
Maybe you can get something for Fleury and you know, just...
You're not... No. You're not getting anything for Fleury that you could build on.
I don't think so either.
Fleury's almost a risky contract in a way. I mean...
Yeah, in some ways, he was pretty good this year.
I don't think he was horrible. I don't think he was as bad as we've seen him be, but I don't think he was great. He still let in those soft Fleury goals that he does.
Yeah.
You can make all the great saves you want. If you let in the soft goals... It renders the rest of them completely... It doesn't matter. You can't let in the soft... I mean, we saw that in St. Louis. They may have come up with some big saves there, but you can't just let the mistakes happen. Those are what come back to haunt you. But Fleury's not... wasn't the problem this year. You're right about
was,
that.
There's lack of a supporting staff and injuries on the back end. And even Letang, what are you going to get for Letang, really?
Yeah, I don't...
I think he's horrendous. Some people think he's pretty good, but even then.
I think he's a decent player, but I don't think he's... He's certainly not a Norris Trophy candidate, despite the fact that some people want to play that song this year. I don't see that being the case, but what is he going to get you? Because with his injuries and everything else, too. I mean, you got Fleury with what's perceived as a bad contract. You got Letang with all these injury issues. Even your best, so-called best trade options, I don't know that they net you anything that you need. So yeah, maybe it is Malkin. Maybe that's what you got to do. And you have to win that trade. And how do you win a trade in which you move out Evgeny Malkin?
And I'm not saying they should. I think that would be foolish. But if you really want to shake things up, that's really the only move you have, I think.
Yeah, they're in an ugly spot.
Because there's no, you know, it'd be one thing if there was a UFA out there that they could get. Now, you know, maybe they get Kessel for 60 cents on the dollar because Toronto really wants to get rid of him and really wants to get rid of the contract. Maybe that's, you know, or maybe you hope someone talks himself into the Tyler trade Sagan, or Tyler Sagan trade 2.0, but beyond that,
it's bleak in Pittsburgh, another city that's failed too many times, as alluding to question number 10. What's next in St. Louis? I mean, they can't win a playoff round despite being Stanley Cup favorites for what, the past three straight seasons?
Yeah, I'm still not entirely sold on Jake Allen.
Well, obviously not after today.
What's that?
Not after today,
I know. And that might not be entirely fair, because by all accounts, he is very, very good. And, you know, goalies do take a while to develop, and not being sold on him based on a couple of average playoffs, you know, might be the equivalent to people not being sold on Carey Price 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
There is that possibility, but everything else seems to be in place. It's just the goaltending there. And the window is now. I don't know if you want to wait 3 or 4 years for Jake Allen to maybe turn into a franchise goalie.
No, and that's exactly it. I mean, we were talking during this series when Tarasenko had his hat trick, and I thought, you know, maybe this is the missing piece that St. Louis has been needing, because they haven't had that game-breaking goal scorer in any of their previous runs. They had really solid teams that seemed really well-built, you know, lines 1 through 4, and the same for all the defensemen. But they didn't seem to have that game breaker. Tarasenko seemed to have became that game breaker for them this year, but goaltending wasn't there. And if you don't have goaltending in the playoffs, you're not going to go very far. And I think St. Louis proved that. I mean, would you have gone with Elliott? Maybe, but I don't know that he's good enough either.
Elliott is such the definition of average to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, other people seem to see there being more value to Elliott. I don't know that series turns out any differently with Minnesota if it's Elliott instead of Allen.
No, it's too bad. For a long time, you know, I wasn't buying St. Louis for a while, but they're so physical, and they're so deep, and they're so great on defense, and I think they're well coached. Now, maybe Hitchcock loses his job. I think he probably will. I don't think that's necessarily fair. I do know that he grinds on his players, and you know, maybe it's just time for a change, because he might have lost that locker room, but I do think they're well coached and they play his system. Like, that's actually kind of a perfect marriage between personnel and coaching system.
Yeah, I would think so.
So, you know, maybe they're training him out, but if you switch him out, you better get someone good, you know, who fits that system and replace him. But if Jake Allen's still your goal and he's still not quite ready for prime time, they're probably losing in the first round game next year.
I don't think he's going to keep his job either. I think Hitchcock's going to get canned.
Yeah, I do too.
Wind up as the San Jose Sharks' next head coach?
Were they having Tom Ehlers?
or the Edmonton Oilers. I think it's more likely to be the Sharks. Hitchcock won't be without work for long. He's a good coach. Oh,
there are a lot of good coaches on the market this year and a lot of interesting job opportunities.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the most fun part because, as we were saying, the free agent offseason's not going to be that interesting.
God, no.
The coaching changes, who gets hired where, that might be the most interesting part.
I mean, Babcock, Bylsma, McClellan, Hitchcock, that's four pretty good coaches.
That's four really good coaches. And we don't even know, I mean.
Maybe Julien.
I think he's going to survive now.
I think he will, too.
I think he's going to survive, but he maybe not. He might be available. Fuck. Oh, could that please happen? Oh, my God, could that please happen? And I know you got Pierre Maguire saying, he's actually a good head coach, just not a good GM, and you got some other people trumpeting that. Please. Let's put Mike Milbury in there.
Here's some free advice to Cam Neely, who, by the way, one of my favorite players growing up, even though he played for the Bruins, but has all the makings of an atrocious general manager.
Yes, he does.
Cam, when fans of your team's biggest rival are openly just wishing with every fiber of their being that you hire someone to be their head coach, you probably should not hire that person.
No, I think you should, Cam. Come on, Seabass.
I can't even think of what the equivalent would be. But
it would be horrible. He's not a good coach. Maybe in his time people saw some value to him. He's not a good coach. It will go poorly. Very poor. This is a man who climbed into the crowd and beat a man with his shoe.
Well, now you're kind of convincing me, actually.
That he should be the man.
That kind of sounds awesome.
Do it. Come on, Cam. Do it.
I can't think of any other move that would make me that happy as I have a fan besides, like, the Maple Leafs signing Jeff Finger again for 8 years and $56 million.
We should just get to revisit the Jeff Finger signing every year. It's a beautiful moment.
Basically when I celebrate Canada today, that's
the main purpose. It's Jeff Finger. Question number 11. Are you pissed that Connor McDavid ended up in Edmonton? McTavish and Clan all high-fiving each other when they got it, only to realize that meant it cost them their jobs.
I kind of like it, actually. I know
I kind of do, too.
And it is kind of, you know, 4-1 picks in a 6-year span and being rewarded for perpetual incompetence is kind of bizarre. But I would have been very happy with Buffalo.
But the other two options...
The other choices were either he goes to Toronto,
which...
And, you know, the Leafs probably win a cup within the next 8 years.
No, the Leafs would have fucked that up, too.
They would have drafted Eichel or something. But, or he goes to friggin' Phoenix and this once-in-a-generation talent.
Or Carolina.
So either way, this once-in-a-generation talent spends the first 7-8 years of his career skating in front of 8,000 fans in an ugly sweater.
Yep.
So
Buffalo would have been best-case scenario.
Buffalo was best-case scenario. Edmonton was, of all the realistic places, Edmonton was sort of my number two choice, to be honest.
I would agree with you. And here's the thing. I think I tweeted this the other day. Edmonton was the only team in the tank race that wasn't actually tanking. They were just bad. Everyone else was sort of bad on purpose. I mean, Toronto tried to be good for a while, but when that didn't work, they joined the tank war. Edmonton had... nothing but good intentions in being as horrible as they were. Everyone else was trying to get McDavid. Edmonton was actually trying to win some hockey games. They just weren't able to do it. When you think about it in terms of all the hoopla that was about tanking and how upset we all got and felt the system needed to be fixed, the team that was actually just shit because they were shit were the one that wound up getting the player that they deserved. That feels like the wrong thing to say, but they got help for being bad. What we want to see is the teams that just are bad getting the draft pick. That's the whole reason the system exists as it is, and for most of us, we're kind of okay with it. They didn't tank. And, you know, the hockey gods may have rewarded them, I guess. They won't fuck this up now, will they? Edmonton has got to be better now, right?
You would think so, eventually. And how can you not be intrigued by what they have going on? Now, they've got to do something, you would think.
Yes.
Move one of those guys for a defenseman, for God's sake.
Well, you have to. I mean, you absolutely have to do that.
But, you know, by next year or the year after, they could be the funnest team in the league to watch.
Most sought-after defenseman is going to be Jeff Petry, and they already dealt him away, and he doesn't want to go back there.
Yeah.
But that's on the UFA market. I mean, with the names they have, they can make a deal.
Shea Weber's from Alberta.
They've got the kind of players who could net you big returns.
Anyone, really.
I don't know about Web. Really, yeah, if you package the right things, you could put some real good defensemen on that blue line real fast.
Yeah, you can.
Be interesting to see what happens now. But, you know, the idiots who have been running this shit show for so long are no longer running the thing. I have decent confidence in Chiarelli. Obviously, we had a lot of fun at his expense all season long on the Tyler Seguin thing, and I'm interested to see if somehow he becomes the guy who deals both Tyler and Taylor of that much-discussed draft. All the same, I think he's overall a pretty good general manager and certainly better than the guys they had in place. This is the most hope I've had for Edmonton in a long time.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's so funny how, you know, Pittsburgh and Edmonton both sort of staggered by 5 years, but those two kind of random cities, you know, may, and this is a big leap forward.
Yeah, but
they may end up with, you know, the four most talented players of the last 25 years.
I mean, if anyone's trending that way, even more so than Crosby, it's McDavid.
Yeah.
Do you see that goal he scored tonight?
Sure did.
Holy shit. Oh, if you're Edmonton.
To go from Gretzky to McDavid and to go from the man to Sid, that's not even mentioning Messier and Malkin and Jaeger. And, you know, that's kind of cool. It's pretty impressive.
In Montreal, we're just stuck with Plante, Dryden, Roy, Price. Our legends are built in between the pipes now, apparently.
And on the blue line.
A little, you're right. A little bit on the blue line. It's been a long time since we had a great forward, I guess. A truly great. Pacioretty's good, but he's not one of the best players in the league.
No, that's right.
Pacioretty's a really good player. I'm not trying to... But when was the last time we had a forward who was, you know, amongst the best in the NHL?
He's the closest we've had since LeFleur, probably.
Yeesh, you're right.
Naslund, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess closer to Naslund. Question 12. Were you offended by the Katy Perry chant?
I didn't find it remotely funny.
No, it's definitely not funny.
And, you know, Winnipeg fans are generally pretty witty, so I was kind of offended by how crappy it was.
Yeah.
Was I offended by it? No. No, I wasn't. I thought it was a bad joke.
Yeah, stupid.
That I think is in bad taste or offensive. No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Look, I get where everyone's coming from on it, and... I'm all for let's stop the stupid Sedin sisters and Cindy Crosby. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Katy Perry thing, whatever, fuck. But it's just hard to stay on side when it keeps going for a week. And it's just, I could have used less of this one, I'll be honest.
I could have used less of every single one of these, honestly.
It will not die, and I don't know, sometimes you're just like, okay, move on. It was stupid, we said our piece, and, you know, let's move forward from it. I don't think dwelling on it's certainly not going to win over any hearts and minds of the people who are disagreeing with you.
No, you know, if someone had sent out a tweet right as it was happening saying, I find this slightly offensive and kind of stupid and juvenile and inane, I would have...
Which it is. It's all of those things.
It's all of those. Yeah, so fine. Okay. But to talk about it a week later as if it's the downfall of civilization and how are we as a people going to emerge from this dark chapter in our history? Like, can we please move on?
Can we please move on indeed? That was question 12. They won, Sean. We just clinched the first round. We should be in better spirit, should we not?
Well, when's the last time you felt this crappy after winning... The first round.
We used to
playoffs,
didn't right? We used to riot after first round wins?
Yes, we did.
I mean, not to say go riot, but I feel like this doesn't have the same celebratory mood as previous ones. We just won a playoff round.
Yeah, I know. Against a team that, you know.
Our rivals.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of our biggest rivals. We just knocked them out. Killed their Cinderella run. Beat them in their own building. It should be all good. We were up 3-0 too. That's the... That's,
so we didn't sweep them.
We didn't sweep them. Guess that's what we wanted.
I guess so. But, and I'm not lecturing anyone because I don't feel fantastic about it.
No, I know. But it's silly.
It's stupid.
I'll go have a celebration drink or something. I gotta feel like I'm... I just feel relieved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, I felt last Sunday I was celebratory when we went up 3-0 and I thought the series was wrapped up. Last Sunday I certainly felt pretty good about things. Tonight, just more like, oh, thank God. Well, I was pissed. Yeah. Friday night, I wanted to enjoy my weekend in a, you know, 5 games, you can celebrate that. Instead, I had to think about it all weekend and get have that game day anticipation all through Sunday again. And they didn't go out and kill it in Game 6 either. No. It was, it felt like a skin-of-our-teeth win.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fine. First round, that can happen. Let's see what happens in the next one. But adjustments will need to be made. Players will need to be better.
Yeah. But like you said, it's more like, okay, like, thank God it didn't go 7. Thank God they didn't come back. It's more of a relief than a celebration.
Admit it. And then I'm not throwing you under the bus here, me as well. But let's admit, a lot of doubt before tonight's game after the loss on Friday.
I thought we were going to lose the series.
I did too. I really did. I thought we were
really
going to blow it. It felt like that was the case. It's not. And it didn't even go to 7 games.
Nope.
It's Habs in 6 like many out there predicted.
Yeah, it was just not, you know.
Not conventional.
Not conventional, not the route we would have preferred to take, but yeah.
They did it. And, you know, hopefully it's now time to smarten up because we didn't see enough from round one to convince us. I don't think anyways, I didn't see enough in round one to convince me that this is a team that's going to go deep into the playoffs.
No, that's the thing. And it wasn't just the 2 straight losses.
No, exactly.
That, you know, Carey was good, but not great. The first 2 lines disappeared completely. Our second best defenseman forgot how to play hockey. You know, Bolio was hurt, although he should be, you know, might be back for round two. It was close. We easily could have lost that series.
Yep, we could have lost that series for sure.
And there wasn't a ton to inspire confidence there.
Had Hammond besides, managed to keep a little bit of magic, we would have lost.
Yeah, or like you said, had Anderson started from game one, we would have lost.
But we won.
But we won.
Got to keep reminding ourselves, apparently, that we did win.
It was a relatively uninspiring win over, you know, a fun team and a hot team, but not a very good team, ultimately.
No, that's exactly it. That the Ottawa Senators, for all that they accomplished this past season, and it is fun putting an end to that. They weren't a good team. They were a team riding a high. They were a team riding luck. And the Montreal Canadiens, if they have any dreams of any success in this postseason, needed to beat the Senators. And the Sens made it more interesting than I think any of us are comfortable with.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, this was a team that did completely believe in itself. I mean, no other team, I don't think, was going to scare us coming back from 3-0. But Ottawa had been in such an impossible situation so many times that they still seem scary despite being down 3-0. Whereas, you know, if it had been Washington or the New York Islanders or anyone else really that we would be playing, I don't think there would have been that much fear. But because the Senators just seem to have all this momentum and luck on their sides, they seem scary.
Yeah, they really did. And it really seemed like they were going to pull off 2 sort of historic comebacks back to back.
And yet the narrative died.
Yeah.
Thankfully. And I mean, look, here we are, round 2. I continue to try and put a positive spin on things here.
Yeah,
because it's not difficult. It shouldn't be this difficult.
No, it shouldn't.
Boston Bruins didn't make the playoffs. Toronto Maple Leafs did not make the playoffs. In fact, they're horrible. We didn't lose to either of those teams once in the entire regular season. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I think you're concerned, as far as most Habs fans are concerned, enemy number 3, we just eliminated them. I mean, it's a good season, and things are going well.
Finish with over 100 points, and our goalie is going to win the Vezina and the Hart.
So far, so good. So why do we feel so empty?
I know.
getting philosophical.
Very existential.
As we approach 1 a.m. Got anything else, or should we wrap this up and wait to see who we play next? Even if the next one, maybe we'll just make it a short kind of preview of the next round.
Yeah, I think once we find out who we're going to play, we can go from there. But I think that does it for me.
Who do you think we're going to play?
I think we're going to play Detroit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You think we're going to play Tampa?
No, I just think it's interesting that we might play Detroit. If Tampa's out of the way as well, then we need to get our shit together, because things are lining up quite nicely. In the sense that there's no favorite. If your main competitor, and I think Tampa is the hardest team for Montreal to get by in these playoffs. If they're already gone, get your shit together, boys.
Yeah, I agree. It's wide open this year. Like I said, Calgary and Anaheim, one of those two teams is going to the Western Conference Final.
Chicago will beat them.
Yeah.
Or Minnesota. Let's not count Minnesota out. Minnesota might raise the Stanley Cup this year.
Who's? I mean, we're backtracking a bit. This is more interesting to me than a listener, but I don't even know who your cup pick was before things got started.
Tampa.
Right. I didn't know that.
So that probably damns them pretty decently. I knew what I was doing. All right. Hey, Habs won the round. We're on to round two. It's very bizarre. I don't think we've ever done a podcast quite like this before. Maybe it's because I'm in my weird basement. Feels more depressing when I'm relegated to the basement. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. As always, hey, it's the playoffs. You're sitting around. We've got a little bit of wait until the second round at this point, but you still you're anxious for some Habs content. Bunch of we'll have the forum up on rabbithabs.com this week. What should we discuss in the forum? That we'll probably ask this.
We should probably discuss this off air, but I don't know.
No, I think we should ask so the people can come and see. What did the first round give you any confidence, or what confidence may have been built there? That's probably what we'll be discussing. So you can find that on rabbithabs.com this week, as well as of course a whole bunch of other Habs related content. Have a good one, everybody. Habs win the first round in 6 games. Not necessarily the traditional way, but a win's a win. We'll be back at some point. Who knows when? All right.